Well, I think that's a very good question.
Check out our new YouTube video, Good Question, issuesetc.org, and click support. Good questions, better answers, issues, etc. Watch the short YouTube video, Good Question, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Well, you know, that's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, that's a good question.
I believe that the president is a citizen. I believe the president is a Christian. I'll take him at his word.
This bill will write into permanent law a policy on which there's been strong popular and congressional agreement for over 35 years. The federal government should not use tax dollars to support or promote elective abortion.
This legislation represents an entirely new front in the war against women and their families.
The church bigwigs of today probably wouldn't allow Paul to preach in any congregation. Weakness? Fear? Trembling? You've got to be kidding.
Moms in Ohio love issues, etc.
Mom!
Well, the Newsweek story is titled, What the Bible Really Says About Sex. One of our guests here in this hour of Issues, etc. says that the story's author is woefully undereducated about some religion basics like the Old and New Testaments. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. this Wednesday afternoon, the 16th of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway about this Newsweek story and about media coverage of celebrity misdeeds. After that, Dr. David Menton will be our guest. We'll talk about the Pope, the Big Bang, and creation in the classroom. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a regular guest. She's a columnist for Christianity Today magazine, a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Happy to be here.
Is this the first time that Lisa Miller has just gotten her facts wrong on what the Bible teaches with regard to human sexuality?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, this is not the first time. She, in fact, had a much worse article back in 2008 where she tried to make the what she called the biblical case for gay marriage, and that one was a big miss for her. It was widely ridiculed for its failure to address what the Bible actually has to say about marriage and the heterosexual basis of marriage, and trying to find a case for same-sex marriage in places that few scholars would agree is there. So that one was really bad, and even snarkier, managed to be a poor piece of journalism just by virtue of the fact that she didn't even interview or quote anyone who disagreed with her her feelings on same-sex marriage. And she's been on a crusade against traditional understanding of sex and marriage for years. So this is just part of that crusade that she's on.
So what did she bring us in the pages of Newsweek on what the Bible really teaches about sex?
Yeah, so the piece is really just a way for her to present the arguments of two different authors who are coming out with books, making the case that, you know, what you knew that the Bible said about sex is all wrong. One book is a little bit more extreme than the other, but basically she takes some parts of Bible dealing with sex and says, and well, like for instance, she begins with her summation of a passage of Song of Solomon, and then she writes, "And can you believe that this ode to sexual consummation, it can be found in, of all places, the Bible?" And it's like, yes, anyone with even passing familiarity of Scripture knows that what the Song of Solomon is, and that it's got some racy scenes, and that it's, even the third graders in an average, Christian school would probably have an idea about that. But for her, it's all brand new news, and she uses that, you know, something that has been not exactly hidden for the last several thousand years, to argue that, in fact, the Bible loves premarital sex. And it's just a bizarre approach for her to take.
She also has some trouble accurately quoting a regular guest on this program, Dr. Albert Mohler, in the little response that she did provide in that Newsweek piece. What happened there?
Yeah, so, well, and I do want to say that in this article, she at least quoted two people who didn't agree with her position. This is something that is sad to say that this is an improvement, but it is an improvement, and it should be noted. And one of those people was Albert Mohler, the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And she says that he believes that Bible reading must be overseen by the proper authorities. And she quotes him saying that just because everyone can read the Bible doesn't mean that they're equally qualified to read it or, you know, textually understand it and whatnot. And he notes that all kinds of heresies come from people who read the Bible and recklessly believe that they've understood it correctly. Well, he notes that while the quote is accurate, the way she set it up, that he said that your Bible reading must be overseen by proper authorities, is not what he said. He says that his point was more that not just any interpretation of the Bible will do, and that the authority in this issue is that of the Bible itself. And those who read it as bearing the very authority of God will read the Bible quite differently than those who see it as a human book conditioned and warped by human frailty and fallibility. So it's good that she quoted him, it's good that she talked to him, but she needs to understand, just do a much better job of understanding what he is saying, what people like him are saying, and accurately reflect what he said.
You say that this is just journalism 101. This is the kind of stuff that you would find at any journalism school. Fundamental things, you're going to get stories with F's on them if you do this kind of work. What do you mean?
Yeah, well, this is just a prime example. It's good, again, that she spoke with people who didn't share her view. When you do that, you need to really listen to what they're saying. You need to understand that the story that you had pre-written in your mind maybe won't go as you had planned, and maybe you shouldn't pre-write a story in your mind and try and force other people's quotes into it to support the points that you're making. You need to let the story go where the reporting takes you. She made a very small step by actually talking to people who disagree with her very liberal, anti-traditional views, but she needs to then let the story accurately reflect what they have to say, particularly when your story is headlined, "What the Bible Really Has to Say About Sex." You need to be open to learning from other people about just that topic. Instead, I got the feeling she had the story in her mind, how it was going to be, forced these quotes in to fit her preconceived ideas, and that just is not going to work.
Let's also talk a little bit about something that is widely covered, but maybe not as seriously as it ought to be. I was just watching last night one of these Let's Follow the Celebrity Around television programs late at night, and they were talking about Charlie Sheen, and they were talking about Miley Cyrus, and they were talking about two people at either ends of their careers in Hollywood succumbing to some of the same temptations, one in a very extreme form, and the other maybe just dipping their toes into it. What's wrong with the coverage of our celebrity disintegrations?
Yeah, it's funny for how much time we spend on celebrity coverage and how much we care about the lives of celebrities, we don't really see any good, meaningful discussion of the role of religion in their lives. And you see this even with the, you know, the Charlie Sheen story. This is what got me thinking about it yesterday, too. Here you have a man who's attempting to kill himself very publicly, and because he is the star of a show that thousands of people rely on for their own careers, and because he's such an integral part of the Hollywood money-making machine, nobody's doing anything substantive to intervene. And, for instance, one thing that would be a really good avenue to explore is how this affects Sheen's family. His father is obviously a very well-known, prominent actor who is also a devout Catholic who you know, frequently talks about his faith and lives out that faith. He's a very liberal Catholic, you know, this would be an obvious avenue to explore how that Catholic faith is helping Charlie Sheen's father deal with this. The ethics of allowing someone to self-destruct, slowly kill themselves before your eyes, and destroy a lot of other people's lives just because you are relying on them for money. That is such a great idea for a story, and to learn what different religious scholars have to say about the ethics of that. And then, likewise, with the other thing that got this going is that Billy Ray Cyrus says that he should have been a better father to his daughter. He tried too much to be her friend, and that various Christian folks had told him he needed to be a parent and not a friend, and now he realizes that they were right, and he thinks that encouraging her to do this young celebrity route destroyed his family, caused his divorce, and is now leading his daughter to spiral out of control. She was recently pictured smoking a bong at her birthday party or something like that. Now, when he talks about this to the GQ interviewer, he actually does discuss the role of religion and how, you know, how he'd had his family, how he and the members of his family had been baptized and whatnot. But the AP reporter, the celebrity reporter who's covering this, is so unsure of what it means, that they use that they mangle his quote, they don't accurately reflect what he had to say. And it's just a weakness, because here you have someone who's openly willing to talk about the role of religion in his family or the lack of his fidelity to that religious faith, and they don't even know how to handle those quotes. And it just, you know, we like celebrity news because it tells us something about ourselves and about our aspirations and hopes. And by failing to get the religious angles right in these stories, it's a, you know, it's a general failure of religion coverage.
Real quickly, about 30 seconds, you say that the National Post actually got it right on some of this.
Well, it was a column. So, you know, normally at Get Religion, we cover straight-up news stories, but this was actually a column at the National Post. And the columnist, who I think might be even a Catholic priest, riffs on that Chesterton quote about every man who's knocking on a brothel door is searching for God. And, of course, Charlie Sheen first came to prominence in the scandal pages because of his proclivity for hiring prostitutes. And using that hook and the idea about what the search for God means, the columnist does explore some of these issues, and it was actually really interesting read about family, faith, longing for God, longing for love, and all these things. It was worth the time to read.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a columnist for Christianity Today magazine, a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Well, when we come back, we're going to spend the remainder of this Wednesday afternoon, February the 16th, talking with Dr. David Menton of Answers in Genesis. First of all, well, the big thing is, and this has been coming for some time, Pope Benedict is embracing something like the Big Bang. He wants to view Genesis as an allegorical account of God's creation. God is still the creator, but he and the rest of the Roman Catholic Church are perfectly comfortable accepting God's means of creation as a multi-billion-year process of natural selection, so-called natural selection. We'll see if the Pope can have it both ways when we come back. Dr. David Menton will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus, the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity. Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.